from the cowardice that dares not face new truth, from the laziness that is contented with half-truth, from the arrogance that thinks it knows all truth. Good Lord, deliver us. Amen. The scripture for today comes to us from the prophet Haggai. Now, Haggai is a little known book of the Bible. It's only 2 chapters in length. It's so tucked away in the Old Testament that most of us need an index to find it in our Bibles. Haggai speaks in a very particular time and in a very particular context. The year is 530 BC, and Haggai's prophetic wisdom is recorded for a period of 3 months, no longer. He is addressing a people who have now been back in Jerusalem for 18 years from their time of exile in Babylon. And over these 18 years, the people have been busying themselves, fixing up their homes, setting about and reestablishing businesses, putting together the school and the community, but they have neglected the daunting task of rebuilding this temple in the center of town. They had recently taken up the project again now after 18 years, but they quickly became discouraged. As they surveyed the rubble and the remains, they could not get past all that had been. The great, glorious temple built by King Solomon and worshipped in by their forefathers was no longer. The possibility and expense of rebuilding the temple to its former glory seemed impossible. A sense of loss, an insurmountable absence, pervaded the people. And this is the point in this particular story, with this particularly minor prophet, in this particular time and place, where it becomes a story that is universally relatable. For we have all been in that place of absence. We have all looked around, surveyed the scene, and all we see is what is not there. My grandmother lived in a house in Springfield, Missouri. It was a house that she loved, a house, in fact, that once had been a one-room schoolhouse where all 3 of her children had at one time or another attended, and that she and my grandfather had lovingly remodeled and made into their home. Every detail of that house was intentional. Everything from every antique, every decoration on the wall, every floor beam, even the stair rails were made out of the ironwork from the school desks that had once been in that schoolhouse. When my grandmother died, the property sold, the developers came in and leveled the house. A car dealership now sits where the house once was. Now, I haven't taken my kids there, but when I do, I will show them a house that is not there. I will show them a place that is full of childhood memories that is gone. I will speak to them of a grandmother and a grandfather who they will never meet. The sheer absence of it all is overwhelming. In seminary, I did some rounds as a chaplain at the Emory Retirement Home. While there, I met a woman who was 99 years of age, Miss Full of. She was cynical, witty, sarcastic, and I loved her. One visit, she brought out a box of old photographs. She lovingly went over them one by one, showing me black and white images of people and parties and trips long gone. After several hours of going through these boxes, she looked at me matter-of-factly and said, "When I die, these will all go to the trash. I have no children, no nieces, no nephews, nobody who would find these photographs of any meaning. We sat there in silence and stared at the boxes. It was not just the pictures, it was the story of her entire life. And it would all, in a matter of time, be gone. This All Saints Day, we too can't help but dwell on what or who is not here. The people, the personalities, the way a certain person inspired us and challenged us and made us laugh or even made us cry. All of it in its earthly form is no longer. The absence surrounds us in our day-to-day life, and we go on acutely aware that that person is not with us. Into this universal human experience of grief and loss come the ancient words of the prophet Haggai, interpreted for us today. "Yet now take courage, O Zerubbabel," says the Lord. "Take courage, O Joshua. Take courage, all you people of the land." It's repeated three times, allowing us to interpret it for ourselves. "Oh, take courage, people of Soapstone. Take courage, those who have lit a candle. Take courage for all those names that are upon our hearts. Take courage." And why? The scripture tells us. Why should we? Why can we? How might we? It says, "For I am with you. According to my promise, says the Lord, my spirit abides among you. I am with you." That is why we can take courage. That is why the people could resume their work. That is why we can carry on. And that alone is because God's presence is with us in the absence. We might feel the absence as overwhelming, but the presence of God is more powerful than the absence of all that is human. The presence of God is what sustains us and comforts us and will be passed along from generation to generation. That presence of God is what allows us to continue on and to tell God's story to our children and our children's children. It is a presence of eternal life. It is a presence that the death and the grave is not the end. It is a presence that will take us from now until forever. The temple took an additional 4 years to complete. But these words of Haggai, these prophetic words that lasted only 3 months long, were what was needed to get the people to a place that they were able to get past the obstacles of starting this project again and to build the second temple. I know for a fact the word of God's presence have been alive at Soapstone lately. Some of you have heard the story of one of our church members, Amy Maynard, who we prayed for just 2 Sundays ago in our worship service as she was delivering the sermon at her previous church back in Maryland. What we did not know at the time was the amazing connection that was made in that preaching moment. You see, Amy and Gary suffered a tragic loss 24 years ago of their infant son, Ryan. He died at just 4 months of age from sudden infant death syndrome. The church, their family, their church family at the time, Calvary UMC, came alongside them in this time of grief. They had pastors and Stevens ministers who helped them through. In time, Gary and Amy moved down to Raleigh, but they started and continued a Cradle Cross ministry at Calvary United Methodist in Ryan's honor and memory. Though it is now many years and many sets of pastors later, Amy and Gary Maynard were still remembered because of this Cradle Cross ministry. The current associate pastor heard of their experience and the role of Stephen's ministers in helping them and invited Amy to come and preach on October 23rd as part of their church's efforts to celebrate their Stephen's ministry program. While Amy was delivering the sermon, the now senior pastor at Calvary UMC, who had never met Amy, nor heard the exact details of her story, realized that she had been at the hospital the same night Ryan was brought there. The pastor, at the time a seminary student doing a chaplaincy internship, had actually been handed baby Ryan when the ambulance arrived at the hospital. The pastor told of how she had prayed fervently for the baby and for his mother and for his father. She carried him in her arms all the way up to the helicopter pad, where he was flown to a hospital with a neonatal intensive care unit. The medical staff wanted to put him in an isolate, but the young chaplain insisted that the baby be held all the way. She never met the parents that night. In fact, until two Sundays ago, Amy and Gary never knew that their baby had been carried and held and prayed over throughout the final moments of his life. And now, 24 years later, when the story of what was lost came out in Amy's sermon, a story of connection was found, a revelation, a presence of God and the communion of saints in the absence of a tragic loss, a life eternal amidst grief ongoing. In a little while, says the Lord, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and the treasure of all nations shall come. The loss is overwhelming. The pain and the grief and the absence of all is almost too much to bear. But God is the God who shakes the heavens and the earth. God is the God whose presence on the cross shook the course of human history. And this God is not done with us yet. Glory to God. Amen.